Good evening, everyone.
Hey.
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 Yeah. It feels like it's been a long time since we've been here for Holy Spirit Guides. Don't know how long, but I think a long time. But here we are tonight. I bet it's been 6 weeks. I bet it's been a while. But we're back. And Holy Spirit Guides, of course, is where we are going over ReginaDonAkers.com. We started at the very beginning, and we're going forward in chronological order. And we are now in September 2005. We may be doing this for a while, but that's okay. We don't have anything better to do, right? All right, so here we go. This is a link for all of you to September 2005 at ReginaDonAkers.com. So please feel free to click on that link if you enjoy reading along. And what I'm going to do is just start by turning this next hour over to our friend, the Holy Spirit.
The bus.
Which, what was I reading today? Oh, yeah. I was remembering that, let's see, I think it was Lori I was told. Originally I thought it was Cam. But I think it was Lori that said she likes to call Holy Spirit Bob, capital B, O, capital B. I was reading today in NTI where it says, it's referring to John the Baptist, but it says that John is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. So I thought, well, maybe we should call him John then. I don't know.
We could
call him anything we want, I guess. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what we call him.
We can call him Bill.
Bill.
Bill is in the house.
Okay, so let's go to our friend, Holy Spirit, and let's turn this next hour over to him. So, Holy Spirit, there's a very big smile on my face.
Shared.
I am very, very happy to know you, because although you were always there, I didn't always know you. And I'm just very, very happy to know you. I know that you are always willing to give me as much presence as I am willing to take. And so what I would like to do now is will for more Holy Spirit presence. I would like to know you. My first thought actually is not as far as I want to go. My first thought is, I would like to know you as a constant companion. But to be honest, I don't want to stop there, because in the idea of a constant companion, there is still the idea of an other. So, although the constant companion idea is nice, and I am willing to know you and feel you as a companion whenever that is helpful, the truth is I want to go further. The truth is, I want more. I want to know you as myself, constantly. So, Holy Spirit, I give you my heart right now. And what I really ask is to know no separation between us. And then, as is our tradition, which is, of course, also a part of our prayer, I ask that as we read your messages tonight, the messages that came from you as a companion, that you will help us to see whatever is most helpful for us to see and realize whatever is most helpful for us to realize right here, right now. And we thank you in advance because we know it is done. Amen.
Amen.
There we go. Tom's mom forever is here. Yay! Long time no see. Yay! All right. So let me give you the link again. All right. There's the link to September 2005 on ReginaDonAkers.com. And if you scroll down on that page, where we're beginning tonight is Saturday, September 17th, and it's called Judgment is a Habit. I'm sipping some blueberry tea, so I may take a moment of silence every now and then.
It's the tea house.
All right. I, as you know, do not read these messages in advance, so I have no idea what this says. So let's just read it and find out, shall we? Holy Spirit said, judgment is a habit that you have. The habit of judgment is an obstacle to knowing yourself. So it is this habit of judgment we will work on. Your role is to become aware of your judgments. Your judgments are synonymous with the term attack thoughts.
He told us that
today. That's exactly what I was thinking. Laurent is getting in the habit of talking to Holy Spirit through me whenever he gets the opportunity. And today we were laying in the sun, and so Laurent started talking to Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what Holy Spirit told us today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost the exact word. So it's just hilarious.
It was actually after reading the course. What was in the course? I don't remember exactly the name of the section, but he was saying that, talking about attack, and that I cannot, I'm attacking because the only one I'm attacking is actually myself, thinking that the attack will, thinking that I'm attackable somehow. And the idea, the whole turning point there is to realize that I'm invulnerable, and I can, and when I realize that attacking myself is not possible, attack on myself will just not make it, not do anything, then I will lose the appetite for attacking people.
Yeah, the conversation. You know, it's funny because I never remember the conversations that come
and
through
me. And they want to perform less.
Yeah, I never remember the conversations that come through me when I am speaking as Holy Spirit, but then Laurent will start bringing it up and then it comes back to me as I hear. And yeah, what I'm remembering is that Holy Spirit asked us to go through the veil of form, or through the veil of the world.
Wonderful.
To the formless, and to realize that we are that formlessness, to realize that the world is merely a reflection of the activity of the mind.
Yes.
I'm trying
the activity of
the activity of the mind, of the formless mind, and that the world is merely the reflection. And what Holy Spirit told us today is that attack is a complete illusion, because it's only one mind that's passing around ideas within itself. So there is no such thing as an attack at the level of formless, because there's nothing separate to attack. It's just the passing of an idea around one mind. But then it's reflected in the world, and it looks like two separate ones attacking each other, but it's pure illusion. So what Holy Spirit was being very, very clear about is there really is no such thing as attack, which we've all heard before. So even when we think we're attacking, we aren't. And if I remember correctly, what Holy Spirit also said, because Laurent asked something about, well, how is this helpful or something, and Holy Spirit said, well, it's helpful because when you realize this, then you let go of the guilt that you have about attacking. And letting go of the guilt helps you to let go of the entire habit, because it's a cycle. It's a cycle. You attack, and then you feel guilty, which leads you to attack more.
Yes.
So if you can let go of the guilt by realizing the attack isn't real, that it's just ideas passing around in one mind,
yes,
and you can truly let go of the guilt, even as you're yelling at someone, because, of course, that's when the guilt, as a core student or an NTI student, will really take hold, is if you snap at someone, then right after that there's the guilt, like, I did it, I did it. Well, if you can realize that you truly didn't really do anything, because this is just an idea passing through one mind, and this just was just an expression of the reflection of an idea in one mind, then you can let go of the guilt that you are trying to put upon yourself. And when you let go of the guilt, that actually helps to break the cycle, since it's a feeding,
yes.
A guilt attack cycle. You take the guilt out of it, the attack eventually falls out of it too.
And the idea is that you cannot hurt the formless.
Right.
And that is a very helpful idea, because we have that insane thought that we can be hurt.
Or that we can hurt others.
And we can hurt others. But then the idea of you only attack others, or thinking of attacking others, because you feel that you're attacked and you're attacking yourself. The idea is that we cannot be attacked.
Yeah, just an idea moving around in one mind.
Mm-hmm. formless is just formless. You know, whatever you do to the formless, it stays formless.
It's really all about, again, we've talked about it so many times, especially since we're looking at Eckhart Tolle and Awakenings. It's really about what we are identifying with. If we begin to identify with that formless, that I am that I am, we truly realize that attack is not possible. But if we're identified with the bodies, well, then, of course, we're going to believe in attack. So Right. One of the key things we need to look at is our identity.
Yes, and then spirit helps us lately, because when we realize the truth, for example, I had in the same conversation, I feel, the same question about my ego is telling me that I was not truly giving, for example, that I was not a giver. Okay. And then what was the way of teaching of Holy Spirit? It was great. He said, go to the truth. It's an impossibility.
Yeah, it's an impossibility.
You cannot not give. This is no way. Now, even, and this is very good for the guilt, because even when you think that you are keeping something for yourself, like, you know, a thought, something for yourself, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
You give it to the one mind. You keep it into the one mind. So you cannot not give.
Yeah, and in fact, as I'm remembering, this exact argument is is in NTI Luke. This is a logical argument that Holy Spirit used in NTI Luke to show us that we don't even really believe that we separated from God. We may at a surface level believe we separated from God, but at a deeper level, we truly don't. And the logical argument that Holy Spirit uses is, you feel
right. Guilty
for your thoughts because you think they're seen. Yet how could your thoughts be seen if you were separate? If you were separate, your thoughts would be private.
Exactly.
So you really don't believe you're separate. You know, somewhere inside of you, you know that's an impossibility, that all thoughts are shared and there is no separation. So, it's a logical argument.
Yes, yes.
I'm noticing, by the way, that Mary Ellen is asking what is the date on the message. We barely got into September 17th, 2005, and in fact, so barely into it that I'll go ahead and just start it again, but it immediately launched Laurent and I off onto a remembrance of the conversation we had with Holy Spirit today.
No, because it started with I was asking about attack thoughts, and he said it was the same as judgment.
Yeah.
And then he said that guilt, just it happens automatically, but for the sake of creating a loop and cutting the loop, we're going to desiccate, you say, like, you know.
Dissect,
you know, and then see a judgment, an attack, and a guilt. But it all happens at the same time somehow.
Okay, so I'm going to start over with the message then from September 17th. Let me see if anybody else has entered the room. Maybe one person. Let me just re-give the link. This is the link to September 2005, and again, we are looking at September 17th. Okay, let me just start over. Judgment is a habit that you have. This habit of judgment is an obstacle to knowing yourself. So it is this habit of judgment we will work on. Your role is to become aware of your judgments. Your judgments are synonymous with the term attack thoughts, since judgment separates what is into segments and orders them according to preference. And preference is nothing more than judgment. When you judge something or someone, you see it as separate from you, and you put yourself in a position of authority to make a decision regarding its worth, lack of worth, or relative worth. This is an attack on yourself, because within this thought, you see yourself as separate from that which you judge. And you see yourself as the authority, which means you deny that your authority is God. It's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, and there are two automatic things, we call it boom boom, that happens when you attack someone, or at least when you believe in the thought of attack that crosses your mind, crosses our mind. You judge yourself, and you make separation real. From God, of course.
And you really put yourself in the position of God by becoming this authority that can determine this is worthy, this is not.
Yes, and then you're going to defend, and then you're going to feel, you know, guilty, you're going to fear being wrong. And it's really the whole idea in the Course about the ego wanting to be God, you know.
Yeah, talk about a lack of humility. All right, so on to the fourth paragraph. In the simple act of judging what seems to be an everyday occurrence in your life, you keep the separation alive within your mind. And what is alive within your mind is your experience, since all experience is of the mind. I ask you to reverse the habit of judgment by extending mercy to all that you would judge. Do not make the mistake of judging for yourself what form the mercy would take, for then you are perpetuating the concept of separation. After all, a concept is all that it is, meaning separation. It's nothing but a concept, an idea.
A wisp of air.
Instead, I ask you to notice when you judge. Be willing to extend mercy instead and ask me what mercy I would extend. I will lead you in your thoughts to give through thought what is most helpful at the time. I may also guide you in action, but I will primarily guide you in thought.
I have to say thank you, Holy Spirit. He's answering right now a question that I've been having, like, you know, all through the day and stuff. Thank you. This is beautiful. Thanks.
Wow, he answered it in September 2005. Okay, Lori is asking, real-life example of extending mercy instead of judgment, please. I think probably one real-life example. It's so simple, Lori. It's almost ridiculous. One real life example is to take time to listen. I think that Laurent and I just happened to be talking about this yesterday. I think that in just the common human activity of communication, one thing that goes on all the time that we aren't aware of is we are making assumptions about what is in the mind of the person that we are communicating with. Again, this is at the human level. What we don't realize is that these assumptions are judgments, and they're leading us to make judgments. And, you know, we could be even getting ticked off at a person because of what we're assuming they mean. Mm. To extend mercy would in that case be as simple as realizing, I don't know the thoughts in my brother's mind. I do not know the motives, and taking the time to stop and listen without thinking. That would be extending mercy. That would also be non-judgment, because in order to judge, you must be thinking. So that is an example. She says, thank you.
Well, another example would be, you see yourself having an attack thought, believing an attack thought, or just a judgment on a brother, you know, have a preference, you know, any kind of, I mean, our awareness of judgment now is pretty heightened, so we know what is a judgment. We know that an attack thought is judgment. We know that something we're not happy with is a judgment of what is. We know that preference, we know that comment, a lot of comments are coming from fear, so they are judgment. And we know all that now. So when we catch ourselves doing this, when we ask right away Holy Spirit inside, saying, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to extend mercy instead of this. Please help. Well, you can be guaranteed that this is really heard. And most of the time, you will have an answer right away.
Yeah, one thing that may definitely happen when you ask Holy Spirit to extend mercy instead of this is you may see the error in your own mind.
Exactly.
That
this
you
is
did
it.
Not
this
see.
Is, yeah, I could have peace instead of this.
Absolutely.
But then you realize that it all has to do with you. And then in that asking, you already totally reverse the thought of the world. By knowing that you are responsible for your sight, you are responsible for perception, you want to change it, you want to change the thought that created the perception in order to have another experience, so you ask. But in that asking, it's like, okay, I'm responsible, I could have peace instead of this, please help.
So,
what would you have me share, what would you have me say, you know, instead of, what would you have me think instead of what I just thought?
Yes. All right, so going on to the next paragraph then. Guiding you in thought without leading you to take a specific action is helpful for you at this time, because it helps you to remove your awareness from the world of form as reality and place it on the world of mind as reality. As you follow my guidance to extend the thoughts I would have you extend, and you perceive miracles based on the extension of thought, You will come to accept mind as self, mind as connectedness, and oneness as the reality of mind. Within this acceptance, you will find salvation. So that's a very interesting paragraph. So what Holy Spirit is saying to me at this time in September 2005 is that although I may guide you to do something, or I may guide you to say something, right now that's going to be the exception to the rule. The majority of the time, I'm merely going to guide you to think differently. I'm going to ask you to think a different thought. And the reason for that is you believe too much in form. So if I guide you to do something or to say something and then there is a result, you're still going to think it's because of what you did or what you said. So it's much more helpful if I just have you focus on the mind, have you change what you're thinking. Then when there is a change reflected in form, you'll know it didn't come from your action, it only came from your change of mind. So he's really trying to teach me cause and effect.
That's totally brilliant.
Totally brilliant.
Totally brilliant in the idea of, and it's the same lesson we had like a day ago now, not today, in the idea of letting go of the, of thinking that I control anything, that I can control anything in form, even by doing my work.
Yeah.
I'm not in control, the flow is.
Yeah.
The one mind is. This is very important.
Yeah.
So there is not really an automatic link between what I will see in form and what I am doing, really.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, I'm not going to go into the details because it doesn't feel appropriate to me right now, but there was something that someone did today. Nobody in the house, by the way, in case anybody gets paranoid. There was something that someone did today, and the thought crossed my mind to write to that person and make a suggestion. But then the very next thought that came into my mind was that would not be most helpful to me. What would be most helpful to me would be just to change my mind about what I was seeing, to watch my mind about what I was seeing and how I was seeing it, and that would be most helpful. This is exactly the same thing he's seen here. So I was guided not to take any action.
Right.
I was guided merely to change my thoughts. So that does happen.
But I still like the idea because it seems like an action, but the idea of extending a thought. Mm. Like, Spirit, I see this attack, I see this judgment against this person, against me. Please have me, but it's easier with the other person. Please, I want to change that. Give me another thought so I can extend it. Give me a thought of mercy. Give me a thought of forgiveness so I can extend it. And then the extension is of thought. And then you still stay in the mind.
Yeah.
And even if you see the result, you realize that this is just an outside picture of that inward condition or that inward activity. Mm. There's always activity going on in the mind. I was seeing quickly as well the comment of Monica. I always thought I was not judgmental. Now I realize I judge almost constantly. Now, you know, we've been through that. We have a lot of messages about that, because when we start to will for awareness, and Carolyn is here to confirm, when we hear willing for awareness, well, we are more and more aware. And what are we aware of? Judgment. Our own judgment. And now we might pass through a period of guilt, a period of, oh wow, look at what I'm doing, a period of judgment of self because of my judgments. And Holy Spirit always is very clear. He said, you want to see your judgment. So it's not a matter of guilt, it's a matter of awareness. Because awakening is opening your eyes. Sleeping is closing your eyes. So the first thing you're going to open your eyes on is your judgment, which is the building block of the whole dream. So let's not feel bad about being aware of our judgment. On the contrary, let's be grateful for more awareness. And this is where he gave us that whole strand of messages with will for awareness without judgment. And he said, actually, in a very deep message, I think it was Experiences Past, actually, that I commented last Thursday. He said, last Sunday. He said that observing your judgments without judging, okay, is a wonderful way to see. Because, of course, what does he say? He said something very brilliant. He said, when you observe your judgment from a place of not judging, you are not putting more judgment within the mind, because something like you are telling the mind that judgment is not deserved anymore, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember.
No, I don't remember. As you're saying it, I'm remembering it, but I don't remember it well enough to quote it. He's going looking for something.
It's right here. But it's just a very natural and very, very positive thing to be aware of our judgment. And yes, we are judging constantly. You know? And hoping that we're not judging is not helpful. It's like hoping we're not fearing. It's not helpful either. The Course says, we're not here to be without judgment or to be without fear. We wouldn't be here. We're here to observe them without judgment. So I think, I think it's right here. Yes, here we go. I would like you to will for seeing your judgments without judgment. This is a wonderful way to see. When you see that you are judging where you thought you were not, you will see why the mind is how it seems to be. When you see that the mind state is the effect of choices you have made and decided to believe, you can begin to choose differently, and the activity of the mind will change. A little earlier he said, when you can watch everything you do without judgment, including the judgments, you are reversing the belief that judgment in the mind is deserved. This is what I had, what I was remembering. And this, if you want to have a look at that, you will find on the blog as well, in December 24th, a message called Experience is Past.
That would be 2007.
2007.
Okay. All right, so shall we go back to this message then? Yeah, that was Carolyn was here when that message was received, yes. Okay, so now we're going to begin with the paragraph that says, remember to seek your thoughts with me. Remember to seek your thoughts with me in openness. It is my thoughts you want to extend. In time, you will come to know them as your thoughts. Mm. This goes very much with the prayer that
this
I
is
prayed.
Exactly your prayer. Yes, exactly.
That happens
prayer.
All the time.
Yes.
In time, you will come to know them as your thoughts. In the beginning, be willing to lay your thoughts of what is helpful aside, that you may hear my thoughts and extend them. You know, that's really a very important sentence. Be willing to lay your thoughts of what is helpful aside. Because what happens is we're identified with the ego. And identified with the ego simply means that we think our thinking mind is us. And what happens is we read wonderful books like A Course in Miracles, wonderful books like NTI, you know, The Infinite Way. I mean, you know, that's something I'm reading now, The Way of Mastery. I mean, we could go on with the list. And the thinking mind becomes educated. And what we think we are doing is being spiritual when we are using the thinking mind to decide how to be helpful in a specific situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is really called the spiritual ego, because the thinking mind is the ego. Using the thinking mind based on education to decide what is most helpful is not the same thing as realizing I do not know and asking Holy Spirit to guide me. They are not the same thing. And certainly at this point in September 2005, I did not have near the clarity on this fact that I do now. And so this is why Holy Spirit was being very clear with me that I needed to be willing to lay my thoughts of what is helpful aside. Because that was my thinking, that was my ego, and I truly did not yet know it was my ego. So it was an important point to make.
Very important, because it is judgment as well.
Yes.
It's judgment of what's good.
Yes.
And the idea is to let go of this too, of course.
Yes.
It's to let go, because there you can. It's really the we have here the opportunity of letting go of self-will. And self-will, as you said earlier, when you were talking about, you know, humility, lack of humility, is the idea that I have, you know, as he wrote, you think you have a decision to make, you think you're in charge, either good or bad, you know, whatever it is. At the end of the day, what we want to lay down is the self-will, is the self. And here we have a wonderful opportunity. Every time we catch ourselves judging, good or bad, let always go to Holy Spirit and say,
yeah.
"Ah, no, this is not what I want. I want to extend your thoughts, not mine."
Yes.
As spiritual as they may be.
Yes. And in fact, listen to this last paragraph. It's very sweet. Every time you lay aside judgment and practice extending my thoughts, you help to heal the world of its own illusion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Holy
yes,
Spirit
thank
says thank you
thank
to
you.
Us.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, very sweet. And I noticed I made a personal note. I said, I have found that the Holy Spirit is working with me to let go of judgment through his interpretation of the New Testament, especially beginning with the book of Luke.
Where we are now.
To see this interpretation, go to, and then I it's actually not there anymore because now it's published and we have a contract so that it can't be online. But, yeah, Laurent and I just started reading Luke together today, so I thought that was kind of cute, too. Just another one of those great coincidences. So.
Well, that, the message of this morning, the Course in Miracles about this, it's all perfect.
Yeah. All right, so I'm scrolling up now, and I do notice a couple of friends have entered the room, so let me give the link of where we are at. We're at reginadonacres.com, September 2005, and now we are going to Sunday, September 18th, 2005. Yeah, I was noticing. I was noticing Danielle is in the room, and Laurent just pointed it out too. So, I guess we will take a moment to say a special hello. Although you know, we're very happy to see everyone in the room. It's the first time I remember seeing Danielle in the room.
Yeah, I mean, is it the Danielle we know?
Well, it's Danielle KW, and I think so. Danielle, is that you? If so, just let us know because you know if you're the one that I talk to every day or not. Or if you're somebody else. Yep, it's her.
Yep, yep, yep. All right.
Welcome, my friend. It's great to see you in the room.
Yeah, welcome home. And yeah, we have a lot of friends. It's a great
house. Yeah, Danielle and I are good friends in that we talk, via email two or three times a day, but I've never seen her in Pal Talk before, so it's kind of fun.
It's great.
Yeah. All right, so Sunday, September 18th, 2005.
I, by the way, extend that welcoming to absolutely everybody because I see so many loving faces right here. So, yes. Lots of love.
And we did point out Tom's mom forever being in the room again for the first time in a while.
So we
are recognizing the ones that are standing out as what's the right word? Just not here every night. Okay, good. Bernadette, that's right. That's her name. I couldn't remember her name, but I certainly remembered who she was. Yeah, Bernadette is her name. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen her. Well, in the room while I was teaching. All right, so back to business. Sunday, September 18th, 2005. There is no truth in illusion. So here's what Holy Spirit had to say. I lead you to truth through illusions. There is no truth within illusions. But illusions are like a tool that can be used to lead you to truth. Do not be afraid to enjoy illusions. Happy learners have a purpose. But do not make the mistake of putting value on illusions. Do not let illusions be the basis of your happiness. I'm going to read this whole thing, by the way, and then come back and look at each paragraph separately.
That's what I thought you would do.
Yeah. True happiness comes from me. With true happiness, there is no loss. For all things are seen within their true light as a path to the remembrance of truth. Seek only me, and you shall know happiness. I am your happiness, and I am within. Seek not outside for joy. Enjoy illusions, but do not seek there. Bring joy to what you do, instead of asking what you do to give you joy.
Wonderful.
This is great.
Great, wonderful. Totally wonderful.
This is great, yeah. So back up to the top. Let's look at this a little more slowly. So Holy Spirit says, I lead you to truth through illusions. There is no truth within illusions, but illusions are like a tool that can be used to lead you to truth. A couple of things come to my mind. First of all, although we don't really read the workbook lesson every day, in fact, the vast majority of the time, we do not. Right now, we're more focused on NTI, to be honest.
That's a very nice way to put it. Yeah.
Well, we are. We are studying NTI daily right now, is where we're at.
Absolutely.
But today, we did feel guided to go to the workbook lesson.
Yes, we were.
And, of course, one thing that was focused on in today's workbook lesson was that forgiveness is an illusion. So you can see right away that Holy Spirit does use illusion to awaken us. And in fact, it reminds me of a story. This is a story I've actually been asked to tell a few times by the zebras. I don't see any zebras in the room right now, but there's a group of people, mainly in the Louisiana, Texas area, that refer to themselves as the zebras. And just lately, like three or four zebras have asked me to tell the same story, so it's pretty fresh in my mind. The first time I had to work hard to yank it out of the back of the brain, but now that I've told it a few times, I remember it. But it's a story I told a few years ago, and they wanted to hear it again. It's about a cartoon. One day when Jasmine was getting ready for school or something, there was a cartoon she was watching that caught my eye. The cartoon is Jimmy Neutron. And Jimmy Neutron is a boy genius. And in this particular episode, he has this friend named Carl. Now, Carl's not the brightest bulb in the neighborhood. But he has this friend named Carl who's afraid to go to sleep at night because every night when he goes to sleep, there's this monster in his dream. And he's very, very afraid of going to sleep and facing the monster again. So he tells Jimmy about it, and Jimmy wants to help out. And Jimmy, being this brain that he is, builds a machine so that he can hook Carl up to it. And when Carl goes to sleep and starts dreaming, Jimmy can go into the machine and be transported into Carl's dream. And then he's going to help him to, you know, beat up the monster.
Very cool.
Yeah, kill the monster so that the monster will be no more. And then Carl will no longer be afraid of going to sleep.
Great.
So they create this whole plan outside of the dream, right? And then what happens is Carl goes to sleep just as planned, and he starts dreaming. Jimmy goes into the booth and gets transported into the dream. But the problem is, once Jimmy enters the dream, Carl doesn't remember reality at all.
Oh.
And everything in the dream is upside down. Like in the dream, Carl is the genius. And Jimmy is, you know, the stupid one, you know, and everything is different. So Jimmy starts trying to talk to Carl about why he's there to beat up the monster. Now, the monster hasn't actually even arrived in this particular dream yet, so Carl doesn't even remember the dream. He thinks Jimmy's, you know, an idiot anyway, and he's just not listening to him at all. And at first, Jimmy is very frustrated, but Jimmy, being a true genius, realizes if he's going to communicate with his friend Carl and help his friend Carl, he can't talk about reality because Carl has no awareness of reality. So he has to work within the rules of the dream.
Right.
And so he starts using the language and the symbols of the upside down dream, which is exactly the opposite of reality, in order to communicate with Carl. And by doing that, by joining him in the dream at that level of understanding, he's able to guide Carl perfectly by playing this game with him, this non-truth game, and he guides him perfectly to the discovery and the beating up of the monster.
Great. And they become friends in the dream.
Yeah, so that the monster does not exist anymore, and then, you know, and everything is done. But this is really what this first paragraph is all about. This is what Holy Spirit is telling us. Holy Spirit does not believe in our illusions at all.
But we do.
But we do. And we're like Carl. We're not the brightest bulb in the neighborhood. But we think we are.
That's the problem. That's the problem. What do you mean I'm not the brightest bulb? No, great bulb.
We're just like Carl's. And Holy Spirit is Jimmy Neutron. So he has to talk to us and guide us using the upside-down symbols of our dream in order to guide us out of the dream. So again, as he says in this first paragraph, I lead you to truth through illusions. There is no truth within illusions, but illusions are like a tool that can be used to lead you to truth. Wasn't that a great cartoon?
It's wonderful, it's wonderful. and it reminds me, oh, by the way, I have a question. Is it
yes.
like... Is it the whole cartoon thing or is it just one episode that you saw?
One episode and it's only 15 minutes long. It's
I'd love
great.
To see that.
Yeah,
to
well,
see
you
that.
Know, it's a catch-as-catch-can and I've never seen it again.
We will try to find maybe and pass it at Be the Love would be good.
Yeah, well,
Jimmy Neutron, wow.
I tried to look to see if Jimmy Neutron was on video and at that time it wasn't, but that was a couple years ago. Maybe by now it is and we could find
that'd
that
be
episode.
That'd be great.
It's really good.
But then it reminds me of a discussion I had with Spirit where he said that instead of using the term, actually, instead of using the term projection, but here it's about illusion,
yeah.
He used imagination.
Imagination.
Imaginings. And all that is happening in our imaginings.
Yes, yes.
The realizing of that just like relaxes the you know, the like the tension that we have all here because it's all imagining. It's not true.
Okay, ready to go to the second paragraph? I was sitting back and taking a break. I was ready for a longer speech.
I was actually brightly bulbing the conversation right here.
This reminds me of me being a suspicious-looking woman in the neighborhood.
Okay, do you want to come talk, Carolyn? No. She's starting to talk, but not enough to get up and come over to the mic, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it's just the way...
If you're going to talk, you got to come over here. They got to hear it, too. Go ahead.
The way we think we know what's in somebody else's mind is really quite funny. And I had an experience the other day where one of the neighbors here had their garage broken into. They actually had a fire in their house, and they're rebuilding the house. And then the garage was broken into, and all the tools were stolen. And, of course, I am not really familiar to them, being sort of just here for a month so far. But I go for walks, and I love to take a lot of photographs. So here I am going around the neighborhood with my camera, and some of the neighbors were calling this fellow that had his garage broken into, saying they saw this suspicious-looking woman coming around the neighborhood with a camera. So it's like, what are they thinking? But that's what we're like. Yeah. We never know what's in somebody else's mind or what's going on. And
not only that, again, we think we are the brightest bulb in the neighborhood. We think we're right with our imagining.
We don't know anything.
And it's pretty dark, because what we know is dark. What we know is like, they're going to see me, you know, I'm guilty and stuff. And we think we know that.
Yeah, we don't know anything. Come on, you guys, let's admit it. We're Carl. We're not.
Poor Carl.
We need Jimmy Neutron to lead us, because we don't know anything. It's true. If we could just surrender to that, we'd be much better off, because Jimmy would lead us right out of trouble. That's what he's here for.
That's right.
So wait, now we're calling him Bob, John, and Jimmy.
It's okay. He's everyone.
Brought the names.
Yes.
All right. So back to the message. That was paragraph number one. Let's look at paragraph number two. Do not be afraid to enjoy illusions. Now, this sentence did not show up in this message for no reason. This is the point, as a student of A Course in Miracles, where I was going through a lot of guilt about having fun. I don't know. Somehow, it's really a combination of two things. One, at that time, I perceived the world as separate from heaven, which really means I believed in separation. I perceived the world as separate from heaven, and the world was made by the big bad ego, which almost was the devil for me at this time.
The wrong God.
The wrong God. And so I felt guilty for enjoying the world. And at this time, I felt guilty for very simple things. I mean, I've talked before about feeling guilty for enjoying a sunset or enjoying a beautiful mountain range. But there was also a lot of guilt in me for doing things like playing a game with my daughter, because I still believed very much in right and wrong, but it was spiritualized right and wrong. And at that time, for example, competition was wrong, right? So, I mean, just everything was all screwed up, and I couldn't have any fun. So Holy Spirit steps in, Do not be afraid to enjoy illusions. Happy learners have a purpose. And it's so easy for me now to see they have a purpose, because a part of what we do, I mean, we are all here to accept the atonement for ourselves. It's our most important responsibility, our only responsibility according to the Course. But we're also used as we accept the atonement for ourselves. And the way we are used is to help wake up the willingness in our brothers who also are ourself. And we don't do a very good job of waking up the willingness in our brothers if we look miserable. If we are, guilty and afraid to do everything. Not only that, but if we're guilty and afraid of everything, we aren't accepting the atonement for ourselves, because we're listening to the ego all of the time and thinking we're being spiritual. So happy learners wake themselves up, and happy learners help to spark interest within the mind to continue the awakening process. Happy learners are critical. We can't have awakening without happiness. They go hand in hand. So Holy Spirit is saying, do not be afraid to enjoy illusions. Happy learners have a purpose. And at the same time, do not make the mistake of putting value on illusions. Do not let illusions be the basis of your happiness. And this is really the, I'm going to call it the fine line that we walk. And it's only a fine line that we walk while we're still listening to ego. You know, once we're not listening to ego at all, there's no more fine line. But what we want to do is be happy, enjoy our experiences. But we do not want to think that our happiness comes from the experience. Because if we believe that our happiness comes from the experience, then when the experience is taken away, the happiness goes away as well.
Yeah, a spirit told, Bob told us...
Jimmy.
Bob told us not too long ago that there's a wonderful place to stay at within the mind, which is that place where you know that the world is meaningless, yet beautiful.
Yes.
And it's very, very important. I mean, I found that very, very helpful.
Do we have any NTIs around? I know
NTIs
I keep reading.
NTIs around. Here we go.
We should have NTIs
there's
around.
NTI around.
NTI was birthed here. We should have some laying around. Go ahead and speak.
So really, and then after that, we realize that, and he's going to tell us that what is really the happiness is not of the form, is of the formless, is of the essence. So, and he tells us that right after that, you know, in the coming paragraphs, and it's just beautiful that true happiness comes from him. But with the true this was a question I had. I was like starting to question the fact that, you know, you asked me to let go of the illusion and let go of the form and all that. What's happening when I'm doing this is that things starts to really shine up, to shine, and I start to fall in love with seemingly the form. I'm like, wow, this is beautiful, you know, that whatever it is, that person, that tree, that flower, like, wow, this is the best. And then the ego, you know, spiritualized ego, or the judgment, you know, still left, would just grab onto, you know, whatever he can, and he can only grab on the form. So he would just, you know, I would just like somehow create, or at least believe that I'm creating an attachment to the spiritualized form, you know, thanks to the work in the mind. And this is where our spirit said, no, the beauty comes from within. The beauty comes from the formless. So whatever you see is not, don't be attached to the form, because the beauty doesn't come from the form. The beauty comes from within, from inside, and you cannot grasp it with the eyes. But enjoy the effect, you know, enjoy, because the sinless Son of God walks on earth and just sees the innocent face of Christ just everywhere and enjoys it, because it's just beautiful. There's no more prison, nowhere. So be in that place of the mind where you know that the world is meaningless, yet beautiful. I found that very very helpful.
And this is a paragraph that I've read a few times recently. In fact, the last time we taught, I read it as well, but I keep feeling to read it, so I'm just going to keep reading it. No, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the paragraph that talks about the fourth phase of awakening.
Sure.
Because in NTI, again, there it describes four phases of awakening, and the fourth phase is what we in the world typically call enlightenment. So what Holy Spirit is describing here is that experience, or the fourth phase of awakening. Again, I just read it the other night, but it's really cool. It's a very good paragraph. Here we go. The fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground. As you walk the earth, you know where you walk, so that the earth is merely a symbol within the mind. You shall not know brothers, but you shall talk to them. You will not need food, but you will eat with joy. Music shall accompany you in your every moment, and yet you will have no need for your ears. Your sight will be changed from earthly sight to sight that is provided from heaven. All things shall be new, and you shall have no need for any of them. In this, your joy shall be complete.
Great.
So you can see it's exactly what Holy Spirit is asking us to do in this particular message, to be happy, but don't let the happiness come from something outside of us.
Because it doesn't.
That's the illusion, yeah.
A lot of poets and novelists and all that, just whatever I can quote Goethe or you know, a lot of others, just say that very true statements, like the beauty does not belong, the beauty belongs in the eyes of the seer and not in the in the object that is seen. And this is so true. And you know, it reminds me a lot of those awakening moments that I had 4 years ago, where where there was no fear anymore and where everything is just beautiful, totally beautiful. And I was like, wow, you know. I don't know if you remember, like in the very first teaching that I where Dove asked me to share, you know, in September, I was like all nervous. But then I remember what I was saying, that I was in Alice in Wonderland for quite some months. I was like, this is amazing, this is great. And trying to share that with friends, they just wouldn't get it. I mean, they would see the happiness and stuff, but it's so true. When I wake up on the right side of the bed, everything starts to shine. So it means that there's no reality, there's no intrinsic reality in any of the things that I see. It all has to do with the glasses that I'm wearing.
Yes.
And when I'm in love, it's the same thing. Everybody's beautiful. There is not one problem. So this is really the happy learner. Mm. And he says the happy learner has a purpose. Now, that purpose is everything.
That purpose is everything.
So when I remember that what I want above all else, if we go to the message of before, is to extend the thoughts of mercy of the Holy Spirit, or to lay my thoughts aside, if I remember that completely as an offspring of this, as an effect of this, the world will start to be more and more beautiful. Mm. And then Spirit wants me to remember that the beauty is inside, in the formless, you know, and it starts to shine because you are letting go of that mask of yours. Mm. And it's just very beautiful.
Yeah, so again, Holy Spirit tells us, do not be afraid to enjoy illusions. Happy learners have a purpose. But do not make the mistake of putting value on illusions. Do not let illusions be the basis of your happiness. True happiness comes from me. With true happiness, there is no loss. For all things are seen within their true light as a path to the remembrance of truth. And it's very interesting that Holy Spirit says, with true happiness, there is no loss. Because if we're putting value on any illusion at all,
there will be loss.
There will be loss, because everything in form is temporary.
Goes, yes.
So at some point, whatever it is that I value is going to
die,
pass away, mm-hmm. and I will experience loss. Absolutely. So the only way to have consistent happiness is to have the happiness come from within, rather than the happiness come from anything that seems outside of
the eternal.
The eternal.
Which is really the what man has been seeking since the beginning of man.
Yeah, and again, it reminds me.
Trying to be happiness.
Yeah, and again, it reminds me of what Holy Spirit said to me a couple months ago when I was waking up. He said, happiness is knowing who you are, you know, which is the eternal.
Yes.
Yes. So going on to the next paragraph. Seek only me, and you shall know happiness. I am your happiness, and I am within. Seek not outside for joy. Enjoy illusions, but do not seek there. And then I love this last sentence. Bring joy to what you do instead of asking what you do to give you joy.
Yeah,
and you know, I've been experiencing this, well, a lot, for a while, I guess, but I've been noticing it lately. You know, when I do things that I used to hate doing, like pulling weeds. I've always hated pulling weeds, and I'm noticing now that I'm bringing my joy, so that I'm enjoying things that I used to hate, like pulling weeds, because the joy is there, and I'm bringing the joy to whatever I'm doing. So there are no longer activities that I hate and love like there once was. You know, laundry is something I used to hate to do. You know, I was completely joyful today while doing laundry. So that I hate this and I love this is dying. And it's just bringing joy to whatever, and it's all good. It's all good.
You know, sometimes when we hear, you know, bring joy, it's like, yeah, you know, but you're funny, but I'm not happy and stuff. Joy is just just another word for heaven. Okay, so when you bring awareness or presence to pulling the weeds, or gratitude, like you say, Joe, of course, you will get to the joy. same thing, when I bring awareness to something, awareness is who God inside of me is. Gratitude as well, and joy, of course. So let's bring awareness, even let's bring awareness to my judgment. I'm getting a lot of joy in, or I'm bringing a lot of joy to the thoughts that I think lately. Because I catch myself judging, I catch myself fearing my judgments, or fearing the hate, or judging the hate, and then I stop here, and I put my presence 100% on the hate. And I'm like, okay, hate, come on. And there's a lot of joy into doing this. So what I'm doing is bring my presence, bring my awareness, without judgment, of course. When I do that, the joy arrives as, you know, they go together. Horse and carriage.
Instead of love and marriage. Huh?
Instead of love and marriage.
Yeah, usually he goes with the love and marriage part.
We can go like with like a wink and a smile, which is romantic too.
Wow, I was going to see if we wanted to do one more, but the next one's long, so I think that
we will
hold off.
And it doesn't seem to be a, I mean, it all goes together, of course, but it doesn't seem to go with our earlier lesson.
Yeah, it's a whole new great topic. So, it is 9:56. So I think we'll stop. But you know what? I'd like to play a song. What do you think?
Good idea.
We don't have your music in here, do we? I don't think so.
Got the music inside.
Do you want to pick a song? Any song? Pick a CD. Pick a CD, then I'll pick a song. Close your eyes. I have a whole bunch of rest of stuff in my hands here. So pick a CD, any CD. All right. What did we pick? Volume number 6. Are you going to pick a song, too? Or do you want me to do that? Who have we got here?
We got here. Either the light has come, or mm-hmm. why wait for heaven? Or okay. only the truth is true. So I let you choose because I don't know.
Okay. Well, you said the light has come first, so let's go with that.
The light has come.
Number 6 is one of my favorite songs.
Which is?
But you know what? I think we got time for 2 songs, so let's do both. We'll do The Light Has Come, number 17.
Okay.
And then we'll do number 6, which is My Destination. Okay? And then everybody will be all calm and ready for bed. Because these are really mellow songs.
Oh, yeah, they are? Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Resta always does very mellow songs. So we'll do 17, The Light Has Come, and then number 6, My Destination. I haven't heard it in a while, and I love it.
The Light Has Come, beautiful lesson.
Yeah. Okay,
of course.
All right, so here we go. 2 Resta songs in a row.
Extend a flowery hug to Mary Ellen, by the way. Just like that. You know, just like that.
The light has come. I have forgiven the world. The light has come. The darkness has been unlearned. I can heal. My holiness has been revealed. Light enfolds the world in grace, and I behold Christ's shining face. The light is come. There is nothing to fear. Love is all I can hear. Dreams of death have been undone. No harm can come to God's own Son. Truth and only truth is true. In its light, the world is made new. The light has come, in the light I am free. The innocence of my brother I see. The night is done, I am awake. I'll dream no more of sad mistakes. Peace abides within. Gives me miracles to shine. The light has has come, I have forgiven the world. The light has come, the darkness has been unlearned. The light has come.
Okay, so now we'll go to You Are My Destination, which is song number 6 on CD number 6. One of my favorites, and I just happened to realize also it goes very well with my opening prayer, so it's a great way to close up.
You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. This world I travel used to frighten me. Where should I go? What should I do? How should I look and be? And then I opened the door within my mind. Where I joyfully go, there's nothing to do, and I'm simply a light that shines. You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. For peace I have been searching in images outside. Someone to love, someone who was a better self than I. Then your spirit showed me my holiness within. Perfect and bright, light of the Christ that has forever been. You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share. I see you smiling in every form and face. Here all around, there up and down, love, blessing, time and space. I hear you calling in every gentle voice. Child, come home, you are my own. Remember and rejoice. You are my destination. Wherever I go, you're there. You are my destination on wings of prayer. You are my sweet vibration. You are my meditation. You are the celebration of love I share.
Very nice. It's a great way to end. Good night, everyone. Zoe, you catch the best rides to conferences. That's all I got to say. She went to Camp for Miracles with John Mundy. And she's riding to Be the Love with John Mulrooney.
Right. She's got the Johns.
Yeah, she's got the Johns. She knows how to get a ride. Very cool, very cool. All right, so I guess we see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Laurent is teaching.
True.
Right? And then I'm back Friday at 2 o'clock. And Jasmine will be here with her friend Zoe from Boston at 4 o'clock on Friday. So we'll be seeing lots of y'all. Bye.
Lots of what?
Lots of y'all.